and share some information with you on an experiment we ran this past year. We're from West Texas, and as you heard from Lewis's talk earlier today, we've had a problem over the last 50 to 60 years that we have water that we're pumping out of the ground, and we're not getting recharge. And so we have farming practices that are in transition. When I arrived in Lubbock 30 years ago, we furrow irrigated. Everyone had water to furrow irrigate. Everything was fully irrigated. Today, we don't furrow irrigate. We use every manageable system to try and conserve the water that we have. Most wells south of Lubbock don't have the capacity to give you a fully irrigated crop anymore. So the type of focused irrigation studies is becoming more and more important. One of the things we look at in the plant stress lab is trying to understand the germplasm that we have. Can we identify new germplasm that handles the stress, the lack of water, better? And what can we do to improve the material that the producers have in their hands right now? The study I'm going to talk about is a collaborative project with Dennis Gitz and Mauricio Yoa. I have three technicians who worked on this project, Didi Lombaugh, Jacob Sanchez, and Sherry Anderson, that were very instrumental in getting all the data that we had. Also, I had a half a dozen undergraduate students who worked very, very hard in the field this year to get the data that we looked at. I want to thank Cotton Incorporated for the funding, and especially the State Support Committee for funding this particular project. The varieties we looked at were four of the commercial varieties, Altex Edge, Fibermax 2484, Phytogen 367, and Phytogen 72. And the question I ask is, okay, if we're going to have limited irrigation, does the way you apply that limited irrigation impact the way that that plant produces its yield and how it grows? So this is the study that we did in Lubbock, and the two irrigation regimes were giving it a little bit of water every day, a tenth of an inch every day, or giving it 7/10 of an inch one time a week. And so total water that the plants received was identical, and we wanted to see, did it make a difference in this particular material? Now, we evaluated our cotton plants using a stress assay that we developed several years ago. In this particular assay, we can take leaf punches, we can bring them back to the laboratory, we give them heat treatments, and then we can monitor the chlorophyll fluorescence, and it gives you a relative indication of the stress level. The original paper we did on this gave continuous heat, and we measured it over a period of hours. We later found that that gave you artificially high values because of uncoupling of electron transport. And so we went back and modified the technique. So now we give it a 30-minute 40-degree C treatment, followed by a 30-minute recovery period at room temperature, and then we measure our fluorescence. This is an example of a variety grown in cotton in 2012. And what I want to show here is that, what I want to show here is that we had irrigated at 5 millimeters per day. We have a low stress level. The higher the value, the more stress the plant is. We switched to 3 millimeters a day, and within 2 days, it came up to a different stress level. At this part in the season, we had a well failure. And so over a weekend, the well went down, and you can see that we accumulated an enormous amount of stress. This is the episodic stress that some of the other folks talked about earlier this week. We fixed the well. It went down the next day, and you see the stress level bounce back up, and then we had it fixed after that. So we can have a very sensitive monitor of what the stress level is that this plant is experiencing. This is an example in 2012 of two independent recombinant inbred lines. In this particular line, when we switched the water, it maintained a very high fluorescence value, as opposed to this line, which averages at a much lower level. We went back and pulled up the plants after the season. There were dramatic differences in rooting patterns, and there were dramatic differences in yield. This was actually the highest yielding line within the plots, and this was the lowest yielding within the plot. So again, we have some indications that from the stress assay that it tells you how well this plant can handle limitations in water. So in 2013, after the hailstorm wiped out all of our other plants, we planted commercial varieties. And then we ran an experiment and asked the question, let's grow them under well water conditions. When the plants hit the flowering stage and bowl load, let's reduce the water capacity. And so what I want to show you here is for the multiple varieties, under the well water conditions, which is 0.2 inches per day, the relative stress levels are fairly similar. There are some differences, but you can see it's a relatively low level across the board. However, if we switched them to 0.1 inch per day, there were dramatic differences in the response of these commercial varieties to this stress level. And so what we were very interested in is what's different about these individual lines that make them handle the stress better than these lines on this side of the graph. So this year, we went in and we took two of the varieties that handled the stress level from 2013 fairly well and compared them to two of the lines that didn't handle the stress very well and said, how well will they perform in an experiment where they only get a certain amount of water applied two different ways? This shows you the water that was applied over the season. One received an irrigation once a week, and the other one received a little bit every day. And this is an example of the stress assay for the four different varieties, showing you the plants that were irrigated once a week. And what you can see, they were irrigated, the stress level goes down, they climb back up, we re-irrigate, they go back down. So you see this weekly bimodal response of the plants. Now, if we overlay that with the stress levels of the daily watered plants, what we found is for the Fibermax 2484, the stress levels were fairly similar between the two. If we looked at the Phytogen 72, a similar response was seen. However, in the Altex Edge and in the Phytogen 367, there were dramatic differences in the stress levels with these individual plants. These two lines did not handle the daily limited water supply as well as the two lines over here. So we went in at the end of the season, we harvested the plots, and we found dramatic differences in yield in two of the varieties. The two varieties, the Altex Edge and the Phytogen 367, yielded very nicely under the well-watered, where once a week we gave it a large burst of water and then we let it dry. However, if you give it a little bit of water every day, there were dramatically reduced yields. And the yield decreases as much as 20%. So for the same water, you can have a difference of 20% yield by how you apply that irrigation. We went in and looked at fiber length. We took it to our local classing office. They ran all the numbers for us. There were no significant differences in fiber length for the Fibermax or the Phytogen 72. However, the Altex Edge and the Phytogen 367 both showed reduced fiber length when they were watered a little bit every day as opposed to once a week. The Micronair showed another response. We saw dramatically increased Micronair in the Phytogen 367, not in the Altex Edge. It had a high value to start with, as you can see. But there was actually an increase in the Micronair under the Fibermax 2484. We pulled plants up, monitored the root lengths. I think the interesting aspect of this particular graph is to show you that the varieties have differential root responses. The Phytogen lines that we evaluated, the two, Phytogen 72 and the 367, both had enhanced root length under irrigating one time a week. There were no statistical differences between the Fibermax or the Altex Edge in this response. But you'll notice for these, even though they showed enhanced root production under the one time a week, there was dramatic decreases in the root length associated with that little bit of water every day. So we have some really dramatic responses that we really didn't expect. What I want to say is that the commercial lines that we have do in fact respond very differently to how you apply the water. If you give it one time a week as opposed to daily, and under the reduced irrigation levels that we have, you can enhance your yields. You can also overcome any genetic limitation that might be there from the stress. So all of these varieties did very well considering the stress levels that we had if you water them once a week. It's only when you water them a little bit every day that some of the other varieties separated and we saw reduced yields. So using this assay, we can predict for your variety how it's going to handle a reduced water irrigation system, and would it be a benefit to you to irrigate once a week as opposed to a little bit every day. Secondly, from a breeder's perspective, we can screen germplasm with this. It was very nice to see that in the 2013 data, when we first ran this, we saw these dramatic differences between these different commercial varieties. When we took four of those to the next year, we re-ran them, they showed the same differential responses. So it seems to transfer from year to year, and it is genotype dependent, which is extremely important from the breeding program when we try to go forward. We saw the irrigation once a week increased yields in some varieties. It improved the fiber length in those varieties, and it reduced the micronaire in those varieties. So we have ways now that we can go in, we can predict what the plants are going to do. The stress assay is extremely sensitive. It can give you a very good indication of how your germplasm is going to be. What we're continuing with right now is evaluating genetic stocks and looking at the diversity that exists in this material and trying to go through and understand the mechanisms that these plants use to handle the differential location of the irrigation and the amount of irrigation. I think finally, to conclude with this, is that the Altex Edge and the Phytogen 367, we showed that in the 2013 data that they responded to this reduced irrigation. If you gave them adequate water in 2014, they did very, very well. So we can go in and enhance those plants. And the other aspect is, why are those different? What makes them different? It's not roots. We saw both phytogens had different roots, but yet they responded differently in the yield. There are other aspects within the plant. So each of these germplasms are sensitive for different reasons, and it's not a uniform reason. But I think the exciting thing for us is that this particular stress assay will, in fact, show you which lines can handle the reduced water levels better than other lines. And with that, I'll conclude early.
All right. We do have time for some questions.
Okay, the water was applied by a drip, subsurface drip irrigation system, and one set got a tenth of an inch per day, and the other one got 7/10 of an inch one time a week. Mm-hmm. Cater.
John, nice presentation. Thank you. For the subsurface drip, do you think there was different root volumes and perhaps differences could have been related to a nutrient uptake?
If you remember the slide, well, I can go back. The slide on root length, you can see in the Altex Edge, there was no difference in root length. Yet it showed dramatic difference in yield between the two. So I would say, no, that's not the roots.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What about the 3 days or 4 days? This
was a first-time experiment. There's lots of opportunities here to go back and see what are the threshold levels and how frequently can you get by. The reality is when I first proposed the experiment, I asked several people who are knowledgeable in the irrigation area, what would they predict? And everyone predicted that the tenth of an inch per day would give you better yields than one time a week, when in fact it was the reverse. So there's a lot we can learn, I think, from this experiment. And it's just the beginning. Jitter. Again, it may have to do with the mechanism, how these plants sense the soil drying. And it may be more associated with osmoregulation and how big of a kick they put in to osmoregulate for the drying soils. And this is all speculation, but part of the reason this our stress assay works is the more osmotic adjustment these plants make, the higher the fluorescence value is going to be in our stress assay. We've shown this correlation in the past. So it's very likely that some of these lines are kicking in, they're sensing the stress, and then they're immediately kicking in a defense system and osmoregulating a lot, which then would help, it might reduce the photosynthate available for the fiber and the yield production. Oh, yes.
These were drip irrigated,
yes, sir. Subsurface drip. Thank you very much.
Thank you.